This is the Legacy United Methodist Podcast.
Well, good morning. My name is Don. I'm one of your pastors here at Legacy. Thank you for coming and worshiping, whether that's online or here in person. It is great to have you as part of our church family this third Sunday of Advent. Now, through this Advent season, we've been looking at the different titles or names that are given to Jesus. Jesus coming to earth and taking on flesh is called incarnation. Incarnation that we read about in the Gospels is described as the Son of God added humanity to who he was. Jesus Christ being one person in two distinct natures, 100% human, with a human mother, a human body, human will, human emotions, but also, and at the very same time, 100% fully divine. Fully God with divine power and divine will. And the joyful mystery of this is found is that both natures unite in Jesus Christ. Some of the titles that we've looked at so far is Jesus the King, Jesus the Messiah, and today we will look at Jesus Emmanuel. Now, if you look... Excuse me, if you want to follow along and turn in your Bibles or your devices to Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 20. And where we're entering here this morning is the story of Joseph, just after he's decided how he's going to deal with Mary, who is going to be his wife, but somehow has become pregnant with a child that is not his. So Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her, in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message to his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody says to you, "I have good news and I have bad news"? How many of you want to hear the good news first? How many of you want to hear the bad news first? How many of you want to punch that person for putting you in that situation in the first place? Right? Sometimes to understand and fully appreciate the good news, we want to hear the bad news first. And that's kind of where the situation that Joseph is in right now. The bad news for Joseph is that his soon-to-be wife, Mary, is with child, and he is not the father. And now he has to make plans to move forward. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, and And the first thing this angel says to Joseph is, "Do not be afraid." So apparently Joseph is afraid. Well, of course he's afraid. I mean, his world has just been torn apart. He's afraid that of what might happen to him if he moves forward with his plans. He's afraid of what might happen if he doesn't go forward with his plans. I mean, his world is crumbling in front of him. Joseph has found himself in a very dark place. We all, at some point, experience darkness in our own life and situation, in the world around us. Some days it gets so dark it feels like it's impossible to get out of this darkness, and for some, it feels as though this feeling of darkness gets so much worse during the holidays. We experience, there's a spike in depression, in loneliness, disconnection, and there's a huge rise in suicides during the holidays. We can start to feel lonely, or that the only thing around us is ugliness, and we lose sense of hope. We walk around in that darkness, and we get angry, and we say, "God, where are you?" I can see Joseph maybe asking a question like this during this time. Back in the very beginning of Matthew in chapter 1, we are introduced to Joseph for the very first time. And in verse 18, Joseph is called a righteous man. Even righteous people can find themselves in moments of darkness and despair. Joseph could have let this anger determine his next step. He wanted to do the right thing. And when it comes down to the bottom line, Joseph really had three options. He could publicly humiliate Mary because of what he perceived to be immorality. And this choice would have possibly led to her death under the law because she would have been found guilty of adultery. He could divorce her quietly and just walk away from her. This would leave her to raise this child alone in shame and in poverty. He could marry her. He could marry her and raise her, this child as his own. This option would be very hard to do and very rare in this time and culture. So Joseph, being a righteous man, chose to divorce Mary quietly without making any accusations. He obviously cared about Mary, and we read in our text that he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He also knew that taking this route could still put his own reputation at stake. Many would believe that he was the father of this child, and he just backed out. He backed out of the deal of marrying her. There would be plenty of speculation. There would be some finger pointing. Obviously, there would be lots of looks and a lot of those little whispers that happen behind people's hands. Sometimes, even when we think we have the facts in front of us, we still can't see or understand the whole picture. God may have a plan in this situation, and we simply just cannot understand it with our own earthly wisdom. God sent wisdom from on high through an angel in a dream who explained to him the rest of the story. Son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. Joseph was wanting some kind of help, some direction from God in the midst of what seemed to be his darkest of situations. God gave Joseph a dream. Now, this wasn't the first time that this was mentioned. This dream had been mentioned before. About 700 years before, this came from the prophet Isaiah. In the Old Testament times, the people of God were known as the nation of Israel. And they would often disobey God and go off and do some crazy idol worship. And at times, God would let them suffer the consequences of their actions. This often meant that they would get beat up and knocked around and defeated by the nations around them. Then Israel would come crying back to God, and God would have pity on them. Instead of seeing God, though, as this the mighty God worthy of praise and honor, remembering all that God has done for them and all that God has brought them through, they just kept God at a distance until things got really, really bad. And then when they had nowhere else to turn, then they would go to him. But they wanted a God that they could just keep at a distance, and not one that would judge them and expect them to keep a righteous lifestyle. And I guess we can kind of do that sometimes ourselves. We want a God. We tell God who we want him to be and what we want him to be. But, you know, this part of our life, just that's ours. So enter King Ahaz. He was the king of Israel at the time. And at this point, two armies had surrounded the city of Jerusalem and held it captive, but they could not overtake the city. King Ahaz had received word that these two armies were talking to another king, and they were going to help them overtake this capital city. So he and the people in the city were just trembling in fear. King Ahaz was doing a lot of of things a lot of things that God had ordered him never to do, worshiping and making sacrifices to pagan gods. I mean, this guy was the dirtbag of kings. I'm serious. Go read about it. So God sent him the prophet Isaiah to let him know that these enemies would not overtake the city. They would not get in. Isaiah even said to the king that God was going to, what God was going to do for him. This is what God is going to do for you. And just to prove it, what sign would you like to see to know for sure? To know for sure that God was going to do this for you. What sign do you want from God? But the king refused. The king refused to ask for a sign because of his pride. He wanted to continue to do it his way. Some people, right? So Isaiah said to him, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, a virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before this child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted." The Holy Spirit used Matthew to connect the events of the Old Testament with Isaiah and King Ahaz to the New Testament event of Mary and Joseph in the writing of the Gospel of Matthew in verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Think about the last time you were in a dark room, just a dark, dark room, and it was just completely dark all over. Now think about what happens when you're in darkness, just complete darkness for a long time. Your eyes start to adjust to that darkness. Your pupils dilate, and any glimmer of light source you use, and the moonlight peeks through the shade just a little bit, or even the light from the smoke detector you start to use, and you start to figure out shapes in the room. And then without notice, someone comes in and flips on the light in the room, and it's flooded with light. Now, it's unlikely that your first response is to thank that person for flipping on the light. It's usually pretty painful. More likely, your response is just to clench your eyes shut and groan at that person to shut the light off. When you've been in darkness for a while, your eyes don't expect light. And when it comes in, then you can't receive it. And yet, not yet. It doesn't, you can't do that all at once. And it can be tempting just to pull then the covers over your eyes. You want to stay in the darkness. That's what happens sometimes when we live in darkness in our lives. We want to stay in that darkness. It has been our spot for so long, coming out of that darkness and into the light too fast is painful. When we want to help somebody else out of darkness and into the light, we have to remember that we need to do that on their timetable, not ours. They still have to walk into the light on their own also. The Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to visit King Ahaz. Isaiah's message to Ahaz was one of comfort and encouragement. In the same way, the angel told Joseph that this isn't that big of a problem. It isn't as big as it seems to be. Joseph believed the angel. Ahaz didn't believe Isaiah. There are key differences between Joseph and Ahaz. Ahaz had long lived and walked in darkness. He was not accustomed to trusting the promises of God. He was accustomed to scanning the darkness for any small rays of light, no matter what source they came from, even if it turned out to be false light. When Isaiah flipped that switch on, then Ahaz just clenched his eyes shut. There have been times in my life I know that I just wanted to put my hands over my eyes and ask for the lights to be shut back off. Just leave me alone. Just leave me in this darkness. Joseph was accustomed to walking in the light. Joseph was accustomed to listening to the Lord. In the current darkness of his situation, it wasn't that hard for him then to adjust to the angel who came in and flipped on the switch. The message of the angel to Joseph did not change the circumstance of his situation. He was still faced with the social and the religious dilemma of being engaged to a pregnant woman. But Joseph was able to trust. He was able to trust the promise of the light enough to see past that immediate situation, the immediate circumstances, and trust that whatever God was doing in the future would be enough to deal with the present. That is how we walk in faith. Our faithfulness in the little things, our faithfulness when things are not doing okay, equip us to the time and or when they are okay, trust us in the circumstances when we need to trust more, when they're not so good. We have the hope then, because we remember when they were right. We remember the things that Jesus has already done for when things start to struggle. We are fortunate to stand with Joseph here. We have been shown the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus was born. He was God with us. He was crucified. He was buried. He was raised from the dead. And through the Holy Spirit, he remains God with us. When our lives feel like they are caving in around us, we don't need reasons why. We need comfort. We don't need some answer. We need someone. Jesus does not come to us with explanation. Jesus comes to us with his presence. We need to remember that he comes to us through others. Don't just sit there pushing people away, waiting for Jesus to come sit down beside you and hold your hand. Now, he could do that. Jesus could absolutely do that. Come and sit beside you and hold your hand. And why wouldn't he? But many times he uses people in our lives at different times to help us deal with pain, deal with suffering, process our anxiety, help us find the right medications and find the right treatments. God works through anything and anyone at any time to be with us. Now, the bad news is that in all our desperate need for a Savior to save us, this is not found in the Christmas story. It wasn't the birth of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. The good news is not found in Advent and Christmas. The scripture states that Jesus shall save us from our sins and point us to our future. Jesus' birth was miraculous in that he was born of a virgin and conceived by the Holy Spirit. But that was the requirement for him to be put in the position to forgive us of our sins. It was only the perfect sacrifice that could remove that penalty of sin. The good news is found at the cross. Jesus lets us know that the price of our sins, mistakes, and bad choices is to be paid in full. The whole purpose of Emmanuel to come was to, to change our situation and our relationship to God. When our relationship to God changes, then we can have true and meaningful relationships with one another. The peace that we so often sing about at Christmas is found first in knowing Jesus for ourselves and understanding the meaning of Emmanuel. Knowing that God is with us no matter what we are going through and no matter what is coming our way. As you look at your own life, where do you need to invite Emmanuel to come in and to make a difference today? Is your home full of envy, strife, and arguments? Emmanuel's presence brings peace. Invite him in to your disappointments, your brokenness. Invite him in to the areas where something has you bound and has made you feel captive. Invite him in today to change whatever the next few weeks of Advent and Christmas is going to be for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that your Son came and took on flesh and became who he was for us. We thank you for Emmanuel. Lord, help us during this season, Lord, to see who you are. Lord, help us to see the true meaning of Christmas. Help us to see that all this is the beginning of your promise, that all this leads, Lord, to the cross, that all this leads to the fulfillment of your return. Lord, help us to be a people who open our hearts and our minds to you. Help us to be able to point our family and our friends and point them to the cross. Invite them to come along with us as we all search for a greater, fuller joy and love of you. Lord, help us all to be the people you created us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.